And now, a selection from Little Red. The Epistle of C.M. to R.B. concerning Little Red. Dear R., have you heard of the man, if he is a man, called Little Red? Has the word reached you? Okay, I know how that sounds, but don't start getting worried about me, because I haven't flipped out or lost my mind or anything, and I'm not trying to convert you to anything. I just wanted to describe something to you, that's all. You can make up your own mind about it afterward. Whatever you think will be okay with me. I guess I'm still trying to make up my own mind. Probably that's one reason why I'm writing you this letter. I told you that before I left Chicago the last time, I took some lessons from C.F., right? What a great player that cat is. Well, you know, the year we got out of high school, we must have listened to Live in Las Vegas at least 1,000 times. So he was playing in town, and I went every night and stayed for every set. And before long, he noticed I was there all the time. And on the third night, I bought him a drink, and we got talking, and he found out I played trombone and when and where and all that. And he asked me if I would sit in during the second set the next night. So I brought my horn and I sat in, and he was amazing. I guess I did okay, because he said, that was a nice kid, which made me feel very, very good, as you can imagine. I asked, could he give me some lessons while he was in town? Nobody told me. I can probably show you some things. We met 4 times in his hotel room, besides spending an hour or two together after the gig most nights. Mainly he worked on my breathing, but apart from that, the real education was just listening to him talk. And then one day he says to me, when you get to New York, kid, you should look up this guy, Little Red, and tell him I said you were okay. What is he? I asked. A trombone player? Nah, he said. Just a guy he thought I should know. Maybe he could do me some good. Little Red, he's hard to describe if you haven't met him, he said. Being with a guy is sort of like doing the tango. Then he laughed. A tango? I asked. Yeah, you might wind up with your head up your ass, but you know you had a hell of a time anyway. So when I got to New York, I asked around about this Little Red. And plenty of people knew him, it turned out, musicians especially. But nobody could tell me exactly what the guy did or what made him so special. It was like, if you know, then there's no point in talking about it. And if you don't, you can't talk about it at all. You can't even begin. Eventually, I decided I had to see for myself, and I called him up. He acted sort of cagey. How did I hear about him? Who did I know? C.F. said to tell you I was okay, I said. All right, he said. Come on over later, around 10, when he'd be free. Around 10:30, I got to his building, 55th off 8th, an easy walk from my room. I buzz his apartment, he buzzes me in, and there he is, opening the door to his apartment, the skinny guy with a red beard and long red hair tied back in a ponytail. His face looks sad, and he looks pretty tired, but he gives me a beer right away and sits me down in his incredibly messy room, stuff piled up in front of a wall of about 1 million records, and asks me what I'd like to hear. I don't know, I say. I'm a trombone player. Is it possible he has some good stuff I maybe don't know about? And we're off. This guy has hundreds of great things I'd never heard before, some I'd never heard of at all. And before I knew it, 5 or 6 hours have gone by, and I have to get back to my room before I pass out in his chair. He says he'll make me a tape of the best stuff we heard, and I go home. In all that time, I realized Little Red said maybe 12 words altogether. I felt like something tremendously important had happened to me, but I couldn't have told you what it was. The third time I went back to Little Red's, I started complaining about feeling stuck in my playing, and he put on an old Vic Dickinson record that made my head spin around on my shoulders. It was exactly what I needed, and he knew it. He understood. After that, I started spending more and more time in his place. Winter had ended, but spring hadn't come yet. When I walked up 9th Avenue, the air was bright and cold. Little Red seemed not to notice how frigid his apartment was, and after a while, I forgot all about it. The sunlight burned around the edges of the shades in his kitchen and his living room, and as the time went by, it faded away and turned to utter darkness. Sometimes I thought of all the stars filling the sky over 55th Street, even though we wouldn't be able to see them if we went outside. Usually, we were alone. He talked to me. He spoke. There were times when other people came in, said a few things, then left us alone again. Often, he let his words drift away into silence, brought some fresh bread in from his kitchen, and shared it with me. That bread had a wonderful, wonderful taste. I've never managed to find that taste again. A couple of times he poured out wine for me instead of beer, and that wine seemed extraordinary. It tasted like sunshine, like sunshine on rich farmland. After a couple of weeks, I got out of the habit of going home when it was time to sleep, and I just stretched out on the floor and slept until I woke up again. Little Red almost always went to sleep in his chair, and when I woke up, I would see him tilted back, his eyes closed, looking like the most peaceful man in the world. He talked to me, but it wasn't as though he was teaching me anything exactly. We talked back and forth, off and on, during the days and nights, in the way friends do, and to me, everything seemed comfortable, familiar, as it should be. One morning, he told me that I had to go. It was time. "You're kidding," I said. "I don't really have to leave, do I?" I wanted to fall to the floor and beg. I wanted to clutch the cuffs of his trousers and hang on until he changed his mind. He shoved me out in the hallway and locked the door behind me. I had no choice but to leave. I stumbled down the hall and wandered into the streets, remembering a night when I'd seen a mouse creep out of his kitchen, bless him by name, and receive his blessing in return. When I had staggered 3 or 4 blocks south on 8th Avenue, I realized that I could never again go back. It was a mistake that I had been there in the first place. He had taken me in by mistake, and my place was not in that crowded apartment. My place might be anywhere, a jail cell, a suburban bedroom with tacky paintings on the wall, a bench in a subway station, anywhere but in that apartment. I often try to remember the things he said to me. My heart thickens, my throat constricts, a few words come back. But how can I know if they are the right words? He can never tell me if they are. I think some kind of love did pass between us. But how could Little Red have loved me? He could not. It is impossible. And yet, R, a fearful, awkward bit of being, a particle hidden deep within me, has no choice but to think that maybe, just maybe, in spite of all, he does, after all, love me. So tell me, old friend, have you ever heard of Little Red? Yours, C.